Thank you for taking the time to listen. Church Hurt is real. We would like to hear your story to help others who have been abused in church. Only when we speak up, can we begin to heal from the pain. Please send your story confidentially to the email witmin@yahoo.com.
Hello, this is Pastor Jay, and I want to thank you for listening today. Today's message is about being the glorified rejected. We are the rejected of the world and the glorified of God. And God reaches way down into the ash pit and he sees something that he can use. Even though the world has thrown us away, he won't. So let's sit back and explore being the glorified rejected. Enjoy. Peace.
And it's good to know that we're not forgotten. And that God said he would never leave us nor forsake us. So Lord, we humbly come before you right now in the name of Jesus, that we may hear a word from heaven today. A word that will uplift us, a word that will encourage us, inspire us, and help us go on with our day. Lord, it's a great thing to be in the midst of the saints. For like Minister said, we have something for each other. But Lord, first and foremost, we have something we want to receive from you. So Lord, in our worship, we ask that you give us what we need. Give us what we need that will help us last, not only for today, but for every day of our life. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
We've been traveling through Luke, and we're at the point where Jesus has picked his apostles. And it's on the heels of being rejected by those who were the gatekeepers, those who believed that they held the gates of authority to the nation of Israel. Those who were waiting for Messiah, but they were waiting for Messiah that looked like them, that functioned like them, that worshiped like them. But the only problem is man began to go through time, the God that he seeks becomes himself. We are always told some things. I was discussing this with Rita yesterday. We're always told that we need to forgive ourselves. And the issue, the only problem with forgiving yourself, you do that all the time. You need to be forgiven by the one who forgives you can uplift you. You forgiving yourself is just you forgiving yourself. But the Bible never tells us that. The Bible tells us to forgive others as we have been forgiven. We have to understand it's more than just the notion to forgive somebody who's wronged you. It takes a humility and an understanding when you can be wronged and God has put in your heart to forgive somebody who's wronged you. So in the Sermon on the Mount, that's in Matthew chapter 5, we have a condensed version in Luke chapter 6. And we're going to still go through this methodically and slowly for the sake of the blessing that it contains. So open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And we're going to be in verses 17 through, what's the?
26.
17 through 26, but we're going to concentrate on verse 22, I believe. Yeah, we're going to concentrate on verse 22 and 23 today. So, Jesus has now healed the man, Dan the man with the withered hand. And they can't stand it. Because Jesus understands when he's being set up. So, here we go. Go ahead, Steve. Read.
Luke chapter 6, starting at 17. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all of Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yourselves, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you, and scorn your name as evil, on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets."
Amen. We see that Jesus is not politically correct. Jesus is saying is counterintuitive to our natural thinking. What Jesus has given us is how we are blessed in Christ. For those of us who are saved, this is something that we're going to attain. This is who we are.
Amen.
Those of us who have been poor, those of us who have been hungry, those of us who have wept or have mourned. But that takes us to understand that we're not comparing it to our own self. That's why I said forgiving yourself is comparing yourself to yourself. We're looking at the high standard of God to understand that without God, we can't do anything. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says without God, we cannot do anything. And since we can't do anything without God, we understand that there's a level of humility that has to happen in each and every one of us, that we will decide to tell God and admit to God that we're poor in spirit, that we're bankrupt, that we don't bring anything to the banquet. What we bring is our sin. And our sin actually causes us to be rejected by a holy God, but God provided a way through Jesus Christ that even those who reject it can be accepted.
Amen.
We are the body of the rejected, glorified ones. Everyone who's rejected, everyone who has been hated, everyone who has been reviled, everyone who has slandered your name does it because you honor God. Isn't it quite interesting that you have come to Christ, the best thing that ever happened to you, and yet God says that they're going to hate you, they're going to revile you, they're going to exclude you, and they're going to say all manner of things against you because you came to Christ. You would think that they would be happy for you. You would think that they would rejoice that you have began to demonstrate a change in your life. But see, the problem is that being that we're discarded by them at their point, we're not considered useful to the world once we go through our change. What ends up happening with us is that the world begins to look at us in a different way. Jesus would begin to look at it in a different way. At first, they loved his preaches. They loved what he was saying. All until he told a story that was in their book about God showing kindness to the Gentiles. Isn't it interesting that we would also, when people show kindness to other people, we'll do the same thing. We'll get kind of upset like, why are you showing them kindness? Why are you being nice to them? Don't you know what they did to you? Don't you know what they said about you? But see, the Bible says that he gave us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. And being that we are being reconciled back to him, that breaks me down to say, who am I not to give my brother or sister another chance? Who am I to say that person is not on the verge of getting saved because they're in a place that I don't want them to be? Who am I to say that because they're down and out and downtrodden and they don't look like us and smell like us and talk like us, that God is not trying to save them through the words of our mouths? We have to understand that to be excluded, to be hated, to be reviled is part of the Christian walk. it actually identifies who you belong to. Amen. The most rejected man on the planet. The man who came to save the world, but the world hated him. He said, the Bible says, but he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Imagine you going to a family reunion. And you get all dressed up in your family reunion t-shirts. You know, everybody family reunion got t-shirts. To identify that you're part of the family. You got everybody there. The elders, the kids, the aunts, and the uncles. And you get out your car wearing the t-shirt. And you go over to the barbecue pit. And they say, you're not one of us. You're not part of this family. But what you mean, my mother is so-and-so, my dad is so-and-so. But you're just a little different. You're not like one of us. Maybe you tie your shoes a little different. Maybe you comb your hair a little different. Maybe we don't like the fact that you're showing too much leg because you're not one of us. Because we set a standard that we're not even living up to, but, you know, we're going to exclude you with the standard that we can't live up to. Haven't you ever noticed when people do that to you? That if you look at them closely, they're not living up to the standard they want to try to put on you. The Pharisees had a standard. And they believed their standard was godly, but it was so repressive, so constrained, where even the Sabbath day became a burden to the people. It wasn't a day of rest, it was a day of what you can't do. Versus a day of enjoying yourself and enjoying the creation of God. And even in the churches, we get to the point that church becomes so stiff and so stale that people don't even feel like they can come in and enjoy themselves. Because if they don't stand at the right time, clap at the right time, say the right words, then we want to exclude them and say they're not one of us. But that's to our detriment because we don't understand that we will be talked about. We will be hated. We will be excluded. And therefore, since that, we need to rejoice. Because it lines up with what God says and it's counterintuitive to the thoughts of man, the wisdom of man, because we want everybody to love us. Who doesn't want people to like them? Who doesn't want the crowd to cheer for them? Who wants to feel cast away? Who wants to be someone who they consider not worthy of a conversation? Nobody. Everybody wants to be liked. Everybody loves rain. But the only problem is the world loves everybody and hates us. Don't get it confused, saints of God. The world hates you because you stand for what is right. You have to remember, you were poor, and the God said, the kingdom of heaven is yours. Have you ever known poor people receive a kingdom? Then he said, those of you who are hungry for righteousness, you shall be satisfied. Hungry people are never satisfied. Then he said, those of you who weep, you will laugh. And see, you're laughing because you're rejoicing in the God that satisfied you, that humbled you, that gave you this knowledge, that filled you with the Holy Spirit. He said, come unto me, all who thirst, and I will give you this living water. He said, believe upon me as the scripture said, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He said that because he is risen, there is no more condemnation for those of us in Christ Jesus. The blood has cleansed us. And yet, as much as we are cleansed, we're hated. As much as we seek after righteousness' sake, we are demised, we are defiled, we are slandered. It's amazing to me as I watch this, but I know that this is just a part of being a Christian because Paul went through this. Paul went through the same thing that we will go through. In one of Paul's verses, he said that he got beaten in 2 Corinthians. He said that he got beaten 35 times, 39 lashes. Now think about that. 5 times 40 is 200. Can you imagine getting beat 5 times? And each time they beat you 39 times, and the law said they can't beat you 40. They can beat you 39, but they can't beat you 40. Well, let me tell you, by the time you get to 25, it don't matter no more. One more is not going to kill me. But see, that's to let you know how ridiculous their law was, because the 40 days in the wilderness, they figured they didn't want to do that. So that was a sign that they didn't want to cross the line. But you have beat me 39 times. 5 different occasions. I think you'd have crossed the line. But why did they beat Paul? Because Paul was trying to give them the gospel of grace versus the gospel of law. The law could never save. All the law could do is condemn. And the law today still is the same thing. It does condemn, because no one can live up to his holiness. No one can live up to the Ten Commandments. But we have a law keeper, a law fulfiller in Jesus that did that for us. And yet still, he did it for us. Give us the presence and the present of salvation. And yet still, he's rejected and we are rejected too. The Bible tells us that a man cannot be greater than his master, and at best he can be like his master. And that's not so much on the positive side. He's telling you, if they did it to me, they're going to do it to you. So I got an issue with us. Why do we want everybody to love us? Why do we want everybody to accept who we are when the Bible clearly tells us you're not acceptable? You're not wanted. And yet still, we still chase after them. We want their approval. We look for them to tell us how we should worship, how we should love God, how we should function as Christians. But yet still, we find out the people that's telling us what to do don't do it themselves. But Paul understood this. Paul understood that there was a greater situation with us in grace that supersedes the law. Paul told us that we should not be judged by any Sabbath or any new moon or anything like that, because Jesus is the Sabbath. In chapter 6, he said, I am the Sabbath. I am the day of the rest. And what we need to learn how to do, saints, is in our rejected self, rest in the Lord. There's a resting that we can have because we're rejected. Because our rejection is on our way to our perfection. See, you got to understand, like anything else, we say when you're rejected, you're cast out. But when Jesus says you're rejected, you're on your way to perfection. That's being completion. Mm-hmm. Being conformed to his image means you're going to be rejected because of his image. The more you bear his image, the more you're going to be rejected. Those of us and those of you who are straddling the fence, you might not be rejected as much as the one who walks by faith and not by sight. Those of you who have one foot in and one foot out, I get it. You play the odds. But the only problem is, my Bible says, you don't lose. Because Jesus said, either you all in or you all out. You don't get to play the odds. Even Peter, with his apostolic self, as an apostle, he tried to play the odds. In Galatians, when he was eating with the Gentiles and enjoying the hog and everything, and then as soon as he just put that pork chop down, he saw James and the Jews coming, and then he cleaned his mouth over and ran over there, all with Barnabas. Put the pork chop down and picked up a piece of chicken and said, see, I'm not eating no pork. And Paul saw that, and Paul rebuked him and said, that's not the gospel. You are now have hurt the body of Christ, because what you've done is shown that you're a hypocrite. Isn't it amazing that and when I read about Peter, Peter was a hypocrite. Yep. But Peter was still loved by God.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that he loves those who are wicked, to the point that he wants to save them.
Amen.
He doesn't desire that any man should perish.
Amen.
And with that news, again, the good news that there's a Savior that can save us from our sins, that we don't have to forgive ourselves. We need to believe in the forgiveness that gave us salvation. If God has forgiven me, I don't need you to forgive me. You know why? Because if God is in you, you gonna forgive me. If the Holy Spirit is in you and the Holy Spirit is in me, and we have done something wrong against each other, we look forward to the reconciliation.
Yeah.
But this is the thing, we are rejected. This week I was given something. And most of you don't even know what this is, and I don't know what it is, actually. And it's very heavy. And it's pure copper. And this was found in a pile of ashes. A rejected piece. It was supposed to go on something, but the machine rejected it and cast it aside. But doesn't it still have value? It's copper. Even though it can't be used the way that the machine wanted it used, it still has value. But the machine said, no, it doesn't do what I want, so I'm going to put it in the ash pile. But see, somebody was looking at the ashes.
Amen.
Somebody was looking down in the ashes and say, I see something shiny in the ashes.
Yeah.
Come on, and they look down, they say, what's that?
Amen.
What's that shining amongst all the ashes?
Yeah.
And when they first took the head in, they went a little deeper, you know, because it's heavy. And the ashes were light. And they said, well, I'm gonna get this. And they brought it up and said, wow.
Oh,
no. I'm gonna give this to Pastor Sutton. And as they begin to tell me the story, the Holy Spirit quickened me and said, that's us. Mm-hmm. We're that shining thing down in the ashes of life.
Come on,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
We are the rejected ones by the world.
Yeah.
But we still have value. We still have a purpose. This is pure copper. It can be melted down and reused for something else. But a lot of times we throw things away that can be recycled. Yeah, means we've been repurposed. So what that meant to me was, God, maybe I'm not turning out like the world wanted me. But you decided to come down and reach down and grab me. And because you grabbed me, you qualified. But the more you held on, the world that rejected me also started hating me. It's one thing to be rejected, but it's another thing to be rejected and hated. Because
yeah.
See, I can understand you hating on me, but to completely dismiss me as if I don't have any value and I'm not worthy of somebody's love, see, that's where God comes in and says, let the world reject you. I love you. I don't understand people. We should be the most understanding, loving people on the planet. And yet still people may come to the church house and feel the most rejected. And get out in the world and feel the most accepted. We should understand when that person walks through the door or begins to conversate us, we should look down and say, you know what? People's in the ash pile too. We were just like you. We were rejected. We were despised. That's what this said. And it says we blessed. And see, that word blessed means you're the most favored by God.
Amen.
So you're the most favored by God when people talk about you. You're the most favored by God when they reject you. You're the most favored by God when they persecute you. You're the most favored by God because God reached down and grabbed you.
Amen.
And God is willing to grab them, but see, what they don't want to admit that they need God. See, the difference between us and them, we admitted we was poor. We admitted we was hungry.
Yeah.
And we were sad about our own state. I'm not so much worried about you, but I'm also more worried about myself. And that's why God says, examine yourself to make sure that you're in the faith or not. Paul went through this. These trials. Paul even got to the point that he said that if it was possible, that he would give up his own life if his brother, the natural born bloodline Israelites could be saved, would receive his gospel. And what Paul is saying is, I love you so much that I'm willing to give up mine for yours. I'm willing to give up my position. I'm willing to give up my salvation if it would mean that at least one of my brothers in the nation of Israel that are in leadership would be saved. And Paul didn't really mean that he wanted to give it up.
Because I think if Paul was actually called on that bluff, he'd have been like, well, I didn't really mean it like that. I'm not going to give up my salvation for no one. But I'll share my salvation with what? Everyone.
Amen.
Every man, every woman needs to hear the gospel of grace. And I understand that it's hard for you. I understand that grace in itself is so magnanimous, so awesome that we can't even begin to comprehend its beginning and ending because it has none. It is wrought in the mind and the mercies of God. It is God's thought process towards us who are his children in the body of Christ that he will show his great mercies to us. In the mystery of Jesus Christ, in us, the hope of glory. Now you become the walking hope that was external, now lives in you. You are the people now that don't reject, you receive. You don't push away, you build up. You don't talk about, you give glory to. This is what it's like to be called a Christian in lieu of the fact that what qualifies is the world hating us. So you got to check yourself. Does the world really love you? Are you hated by the world? Are you blessed or highly favored that to the point that your light shine in the darkness so much that the darkness can't comprehend it and it hates you for being the light? Of course, there's all levels. And we don't all adhere to the same program. But you know, it's something about loving Jesus. That he loved me first, that allows me to get past the hatred, the rejection, the reviling. That allows me to go on and say, God, can I take it? Can I handle it? Can I handle it? Those who are supposed to love me and I believe should love me, hate me. But then he'll remind me, those who should have loved me hate me too. I say, well, Lord, why do I have to bear that cross? Well, we bear that cross because in that cross of being hated by the world is the grace of God and the power of God in our life. Because we are rejected, we can be repurposed and walked in the power of the resurrection. We consider other people more significant than ourselves. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 2, what did I say, Steve?
12 through 14,
read that.
Colossians 1, starting at verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light.
Now think about what he just said. He's giving thanks to the Father that has qualified us. Who qualified you? The Father did. What did he qualify you to do? Share. How did you get there? Because you're hated, reviled, and talked against. See, your test was that you were put in the position to be hated, reviled, and talked against. So that has qualified you to be blessed. So don't hold your head down when they talk against you. Understand that's your qualifications. He just said you were qualified. By God, go ahead, read.
He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son.
He has delivered us from darkness into the light of his beloved Son. Did we just read? Those who are poor, that admitted and humbled themselves to admit they're poor, they get the kingdom. Not the things in the kingdom, but the kingdom itself. See, when you come to Christ, you are transferred from being unsaved to saved, being on your way to hell and on your way to heaven. You are being transferred. It's like when you get on a bus and you got a transfer. Yeah. You can only ride that bus so far, and then you got to go to the next bus and show what? Your transfer. Okay, same thing with you. What's your transfer ticket? The hating, the hatred, that being talked about, reviled for the name of Jesus. All of that is your transfer. So when you go from glory to glory, when you go from temptation to temptation, when you go from situation, circumstance, incident, and accident, each one you go through, you come with your transfer. No matter what you're going through, Mr. K, you come with a transfer. You say, look, I know that I'm going through, and I know what you see, but see, let me find it. I got a transfer. I got a ticket. What proves to me you got a ticket? The fact that you hate me proves that I got a transfer.
Yeah. Mm.
Read.
In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
We have what? The forgiveness of sins.
Redemption.
Redemption for the what? Forgiveness of sins. See, the key is God forgave you. And when I talk to people who feel guilty about some things they used to do and people make them feel that way, realize this. The power, again, is not in you forgiving you. The power is in understanding God forgave you. And you have to transfer your mind from self to God. If God says you clean, are you clean?
Yeah.
I guess I'll talk to somebody else. Steve, if God say you clean, are you clean?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
If you say you clean, are you clean?
No, I have no problem.
Not necessarily. I need the one of authority to say I'm clean.
Yeah.
I need the one of authority to forgive me. Mm-hmm. I need the one who's in control of everything to say I'm the righteousness of God.
Amen.
We just read he qualified us. You didn't qualify yourself. And he gave you the forgiveness of sins. He's redeemed you. Yes. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Right there. I don't think I gave you that, but Steve. 1:13. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
1:13.
Read that again.
He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son.
So he's transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. He delivered us. And we just talked about that. And again, I want you to understand, the transferring comes from your belief in Christ. The transferring comes through the cross. The transferring comes through the blood. The Bible says, now that you believe, you may have peace with God. And you have access to the throne of grace. So if you have access and you have peace and you've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, then again, my question to the natural man is, why are you hating on me? I got what you need. I've already tried it your way. And your way was going to condemn me to hell, but I want to give you the light. But see, a lot of people don't like light. And I get it. Light exposes. Light hurts. But light also heals. Light helps. When you're looking for something in the dark, you need a little light. But what better place for the light to shine than in the hearts of dark men and women? But we don't want that exposure. Because what it says is, I'm not as good as I thought I was. But with the exposure also says, you're not as bad as you think you were. Because you're never too bad enough where the light can't save you. But you're never too good enough that the light don't need to expose you. That's what we have. We are in light. We are the children of light. Go to 2 Corinthians. What did I say, Steve? No, go to 2 Corinthians. Yeah, I didn't hear that. Go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1, verse 30. Read that.
Chapter 1, verse 30.
I'm sorry. Is that?
There's
no 30, huh?
No.
Uh-oh. Well, I got that messed up. Okay. Well, the scripture I'm looking for says, if I must boast, I must boast in my weakness. Uh-huh. Okay. And what Paul is trying to tell us is that if we're going to boast about anything on our journey to being transformed and transformed, we need to boast to where we came from. And what does he mean by boast? He doesn't mean like we wear like a badge of honor, but we wear the God who saved us out of our weakness as a badge of honor. See, in my weak state, I was arrogant. In my weak state, I boasted on the things that I had. In my weak state, I began to see things only the way I wanted to see them, and the world sees them. And the world told me I was all right. But when God came into the picture of my life and revealed himself to me, then I realized how weak I really was. I realized how unholy I really was. I realized that my faith was set and that I needed help, and that humbled me and made me hunger for righteousness. And God reached down into that ash pile and saw something shiny in me that I didn't see in myself. Each one of you are the rejected shiny thing in that ash pile. And he reached down and pulled me up. So then when I come to Christ, I can boast in the fact, because I was weak, he is strong. Because I'm rejected, I'm accepted. Because my name is reviled, he knows my name. Amen. It's because of that that we can walk with Christ.
I found that verse.
Read it.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 30. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord.
So let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord.
Amen.
And we need to learn the fact that we need to boast in the Lord. Not in ourselves, but in the Lord, what the Lord is doing for us. You know, we all understand that we are going through affliction. Some affliction is brought upon us by ourselves, and other affliction is brought upon us because we're being tested. We're gaining our badge of honor. We're gaining our strength. We're gaining our endurance. And what we must do is endure until the end. The Bible says that we who are called to Christ will endure to the end. What are we enduring? What does endurance mean? Endurance means that you're able to stay stable in a length of time that is undetermined by you but ordained by God.
Amen.
See, when I say endure, you say, all I got to do is resist. But see, endurance means it happens in a period of time. It can be a short period of time or a long period of time. But the key to endurance is that means you're going to make it to the other side. And what God is saying to you and to us and to others who are saved, no matter what they say against you, you go make it to the other side if your faith fail you not. Remember what he told Peter. The devil desires to sift you like wheat. But I pray for you that these things don't happen. There's one thing to have you and me pray for each other. But it's a whole other thing to have Jesus pray. It's a whole other thing to have Jesus come in and say, I'm going to pray for you. So as the devil is out sifting people, I pray for you in particular, Peter, because you are so important to the ministry that you will have to be the rock in the middle of his system. See, you, as he's shaking everybody else up, you're going to look down there and say, what is that? Everybody else is falling through the cracks, but here you go. You can't be sifted. You can't be moved. You are still valuable. But I'm going to shake you some more. But you're still here. Well, why are you still here? Because Jesus prayed for me. And he prayed that whatever you do, don't work. And you got to be like that, saints. You got to be like Romans 8:18 reads, Steve.
Romans 8, starting at verse 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us.
So, go ahead.
For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God.
So the creation is waiting. We are all waiting. The whole creation is still waiting for the return of Jesus to set everything right. But until then, we don't compare whatever we go through at the hands of man, at the hands of this world, compared to what we're going to become. And now that's a hard mindset to have, because that's counterintuitive, because the Bible tells, the people tell you, you fake it till you make it. But let me ask you something. When you say that, so you start off fake, and you believe that if you start off fake, you're going to end up being the make? This is what I would say. If you start off being fake, you're going to be fake when you think you made it. You're going to be fake in your own life. See, we are the redeemed of the Lord.
Yeah.
We're not faking it. We are testifying to it.
Yeah.
See, no faking us. Ain't no pretentious in us. We know we are sinners saved by grace. Yeah. See, we're not pretending as if we're holy. We're holy not because we say we're holy. We're holy because he say we're holy.
Yeah.
I got to learn this philosophy and move away from what the world says. If the world says that I'm nothing, God said I'm something. If people talk against you, realize that's your badge of qualifications for the transfer. You can't buy your way into heaven. But you can repent. You can see who you are. And you can start letting the world come against you for what you stand for. And understand it's going to hurt. I'm not telling you something that feels good. Because we're all born in this thing called sin and shaped in this thing called iniquity that keeps us attached to this world as long as we're in this flesh suit. But we fight the world every day with the Spirit of God, the hope of glory within inside of us. Don't you know God is in you? He's not working outside of you. Instead of looking up, you need to look inward. Jesus is not going to come down from being our intercessor because we need him up there to intercede for us. Because we don't know what to pray for half the time. We pray for the wrong thing, so we pray out of our flesh. But ask God to give you more wisdom. He said he'd give it to you. Ask God to teach you how to love. He'll give you that too. And all of that love, wisdom, and understanding and redemption is demonstrated at the cross. That's why I tell everyone all the time, you unpack more of the cross every day, you become more like God. Because what the cross will never let you do is throw anybody away. What the cross will never let you do is talk about people talking about you. What the cross will never let you do is think more of yourself than you should. Mm-hmm. What the cross will do is humble you and let you mourn over your sin and be happy that God saved you. Like I said, God reached down into the ash pile and he found you and he found me. He could have left us there. We deserve to be there. But God in his infinite mercy and wisdom decided, I want them. But Lord, you want them rejected the people? Them dirty people, when you can have the clean, righteous, and religious people? No, I think them. But Lord, you know, I've been following you all my life. I've been going to church all my life. I've been on the usher board. I've been on the deacon board. I've been this. I've been that. I've been in the choir. I've been preaching. I've been teaching. But no, I want them. But Lord, why would you want them when you got us? Because you're not representing me anymore. You're representing yourself. You sound like me. But your heart is far from me. You're not giving your enemy no water. You're not clothing those who are homeless. You're not looking at your ministry as you did to the least of these. You've done unto me. You just want to be recognized.
Come on.
You want a title. You want the chief seats. And so did the Pharisees. You want to be loved. And then in that scripture, Steve really said, and so they did with the false prophets. They loved them. They held them. But the prophets of the Old Testament, they were busted and disgusted all the time. The people that God sent them to, Jeremiah, say, ain't nobody listening to me. Ezekiel was so crazy in love with God, he did all kinds of strange stuff. Cooked his food with dung. Dug under a hole in his house and came out the other side. But see, when you love God, there's nothing that you won't do for God to get to God's people. So I'm going to just leave you with this, and we can leave. I didn't really preach hard today, but I preached from the heart in the sense that if God didn't reach down, I'd have never reached up.
Amen.
That's where I'm at. God, I pray that's where you're at. And since God came down, yeah, we're going to be talked about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not going to understand walking truth.
No.
Yeah, we're not going to be invited to certain places. But Jesus said, I've made a table before your enemies.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus said, I'm the servant king, and I invited you to the wedding. Mm-hmm. And all you got to do, it's coming through the hatred, coming through the reviling, coming through the misuse and abuse. You gotta pray for those who despitefully use you. You gotta assist those who talk against you. And you come with the transfer. The transfer is a renewed mind. And since my mind has been renewed because he picked me up and he picked you up, I can look at each individual person in this room and around the world and says, you are worthy to be saved because you're a son. Not because you're religious, not because you've been in church, but because you need a God who would reach down and grab even the worst of us and pull us up. Let's pray. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
I just thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you for the fact that you reached down into the muck and mire and the ashes of our lives, and you saw something that was worth redeeming. Lord, I don't know why you would want to redeem us, but I guess the reason why is because you loved us. You was obedient where we couldn't be obedient. That's why we walked in your obedience. We have imputed righteousness, that means the righteousness not of our own, Lord. And you gave that to us. And even the angels couldn't understand, why would you give it to them? But you know what I learned? It's when you choose the base and the weak and the untouchable and the unwanted things that you get the most glory. Because what the world and the cosmos will reject, you will receive, and you will sit them in the high places right next to you, and you will say, these are my sons and daughters of God. And they will say, well, they didn't do what we've done. They said, no, but what they did was receive me, and they needed me. And I reached down and loved on them, and they accepted me and accepted my son. And then after they accepted my son, they went out and demonstrated things that I did. They loved. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for reaching down into the ash pit, bringing us up and turning us into the glorified rejected. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for tuning in to Walk with True Christian Fellowship Church. We pray that you heard something that will encourage you, inspire you, and hopefully uplift you this week. And maybe, just maybe, you may ask, what must I do to be saved? So we thank you for tuning in. We always want you, again, to be encouraged, blessed, and at peace. Remember what? Walk in truth. Amen.
If you do not have a place of worship, please consider Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church your home. We are a safe place to worship, supporting the edification of the body with all of its gifts. Sound biblical teaching is at the center of our worship as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Sharing the fruit of the Spirit and moving forward in faith through serving our community is our privilege and pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in to today's teaching. We hope you have been inspired and encouraged. Please look in the description box for our contact information. All are welcome, and we look forward to connecting with you soon. Be encouraged, blessed, and at peace, and remember, walk in truth.
Hi, I'm Eric with Operation Save the Lou. We are hosting an evangelism outreach event, Wake Up STL, on September 17th at O'Fallon Park. We will share the gospel and love of Jesus with people in the community, attempting to reach many who are lost or stuck in a world of crime. Featuring a free concert of local St. Louis Christian hip-hop artists, guest speakers, raffles all day, and barbecue. But we need your help. We are in need of volunteers or donations. Please visit OperationSaveTheLou.com. That is OperationSaveTheLou.com.